Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Wednesday, August 20th, 8:05 Central Time. That means it is time to study the daily lectionary. Our guest joining us by phone this morning, my friend, Pastor Frank Raffato from Redeemer Lutheran Church in Charleston, West Virginia. Good morning, Pastor Raffato.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for taking some time to study God's Word with us.
Oh, it's most certainly my pleasure.
I was so excited to see your name on the lineup for today. We've gotten to talk before on Faith and Family, and I've always enjoyed our conversations. And just a little over a month ago, I think it was, we got to visit over at the Peace Officer Ministries workshop here in St. Louis.
Yeah, like sort of the beginning of summer. It seems like it was just yesterday, but yeah.
Well, it's nice to get to have you here on His Time and to help us study the daily lectionary today. Tell us about Redeemer Lutheran Church in Charleston, West Virginia.
Well, Redeemer, we are the lone LCMS church in the city of Charleston, West Virginia. And it's a sort of an interesting place here. It's the capital city of West Virginia. And so whatever sort of stereotypes you might have about the state, and I'm not a native here, you know, I get called to come here, you can sort of throw out. It's just sort of an interesting place to live and breathe and have your being. There is everything from Appalachian culture to the state legislature and the governor are here, so you've got sort of the political stuff going on. They've got several hospitals here where lots of medical research and that kind of stuff goes on for the state. And then, of course, there's the chemical companies like Dow and that kind of thing here. They call this the Chemical Valley as well. And so it's just an interesting sort of hodgepodge, you know, rich tapestry, if you will, to do ministry in.
Well, glad that you're there. And that Redeemer Lutheran Church is there in Charleston, West Virginia, delivering God's good gifts. We are, speaking of good gifts, we're studying 1 Corinthians chapter 12 this morning, verses 1 through 13. Any context, any background you want us to understand as we dig in?
Well, I think that a good thing to look at is that Scripture as a whole often talks about the church, if you will, as maybe a family. And then Paul also talks about the church as a body. And, of course, here I think they're not against each other, but I think family sort of talks about, you know, the love and intimacy, the fellowship that believers have. And then when talking about the body, it often talks about how these relationships then move into doing mission and ministry, how we are, to use the cliche, if may, how we are the hands and feet, eyes, ears of Jesus in this world. And so how we can make this contribution that love leads each of us to make to our fellow family members, our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. So I think that's a good background to look at as we begin to dig into this.
We are studying 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 13 today with Pastor Frank Raffato from Redeemer Lutheran Church in Charleston, West Virginia. If you have questions, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727. Or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org, as we're digging into 1 Corinthians chapter 12 with Pastor Raffato. All right, chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. All right, so spiritual gifts, he says, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed.
Yes, apparently they were uninformed. I think, you know, Paul is usually addressing, I tell my folks in my congregation often when we do Bible studies like this, boy, I wish I had the letters that they had written to Paul so we could really sort of get an idea of what they were asking or you know, make a little clearer picture of what was going on. But Paul makes it clear, at least in the sense that he addresses these things head on. And so I think he wants them, this is important. I don't want you to be uninformed. If it wasn't important, I don't think you would address it. So I think we need to see that off the bat as well, right here as he opens this chapter.
You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. So when you were pagans, you worshipped idols that... What does he mean by mute idols here?
Oh, I think he's, it's almost to me, as I read this, I kind of chuckle a little bit, it's almost being redundant, if you will, or, you know, of course idols are mute. You know, as we read in the Old Testament, and of course, Paul, a great student of the Old Testament, would know, you know, they're made of wood or of gold or what have you. They don't have any power. You guys were worshiping these things, I think he's saying in a sense, that have nothing to say, really.
So, however you were led, when you were pagans, you were led astray to these mute idols in whatever way you were led, however you were led to them. You followed these voiceless idols, these useless idols.
Yes, you were captive, if you will, to a religion, foreign or false. You know, really, we could even say that they were subject to Satan. They were in Satan's kingdom, so to speak, you know, under his deception.
Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except the Holy Spirit. So if one is speaking in the Spirit of God, they cannot say Jesus is accursed.
No, they cannot. And it also speaks to even for those of us who say, declare that Jesus is Lord, that's not something we're doing in and of our own will. Not by my reason or my strength can I declare that, but by the Spirit, you know, speaking of the creed, if you will. And it's, recalls to my mind this conversation Jesus has with the disciples. Who do you say that I am? And, you know, Peter pipes up, well, you're the Son of the living God. Yes, Peter, you're right, but let's be clear here. You didn't do that on your own. It was from the Father. So even for us, we let's be thankful that we can say Jesus is Lord.
It is only in the Holy Spirit that one can say Jesus is Lord, is what the text is saying here, right?
Yes, and it's just clear. You know, there's no equivocation there, nothing where, oh my goodness, is there another text somewhere that makes this clear? No, Paul is straightforward here.
Anything else about this first paragraph before we go on to verse 4?
Something, as I talked about the greater context when we got started here, is that sometimes people are afraid to speak up of their faith and forget that the Spirit directs our conversation, the Spirit directs our life, and as he does that, he'll give us the things to say at the right time, in the right place. And of course, the more we study his word, and be that way, those words will come back to us. And so even today, for those of you listening, and even as I sit here, my prayer before this starts is, all right, Holy Spirit, Lord, please help me to not say what you do not mean to be said. And I think he does that. And so I think we can have confidence in God's word. And yes, oftentimes even in our words about it, in the Spirit.
We're studying the Daily New Testament reading, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 13 with Pastor Rafato. If you have questions or comments, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. Verse 4, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another, various kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. That's a lot of different gifts.
Boy, that's a mouthful, isn't it?
A variety of gifts, he says in verse 4, but the same Spirit.
Well, and there's a pattern there. if you can see, variety of gifts, same Spirit, variety of service, same Lord, varieties of activities, same God. So I think Paul is doing something here. It's not, it seems intentional to me that he's trying to show in this great variety we still have, it's united by this one God, our one Lord. Of course, this goes back to what we talked about when we called Jesus Lord. We are saying he is the God, the great I am, Yahweh, the one God. You know, hear, O Israel, the mm-hmm. Lord, the Lord your God is one.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's something he's trying to bring the focus to. And I think he's writing the Corinthians. There's, as in our culture today, hey, this is what I've got going on. And forgetting sometimes that, no, God has something going on of which I am gratefully a part thereof.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad that you mentioned the Old Testament creed, if we want to call it that, the Shema, I believe it is. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. How important it is for us to, I think this connects us to Israel, to the Old Testament here as well, that there's one God. There are various groups that take this, look at the scriptures and don't believe in one triune God, shall we say. They'll take this text and say that the Spirit is, it's not a triune God, but the Spirit is a almost a separate entity, if you will.
Yes, or worse, you know, pseudo-Christian sects like the Jehovah's Witnesses, and like it's merely a power source. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is a power source for us. That is true. However, it doesn't go far enough. He is a person. In Acts, you know, why did you grieve the Holy Spirit? Well, I can't grieve the electrical outlet. that's inanimate. Here we have the animate, living God. And if you look at this, it's sort of, in the creed we do God the Father, first article, God the Son, the second article, our Lord and Savior, and then the Spirit. We talk about his work in sanctifying us and, you know, bringing us to faith, that kind of thing in the third, right? Well, here we have Paul sort of doing it backwards, if you will, giving us same Spirit and then sort of same Lord and same God. And so I think in a sense we could say, Paul in a sense is saying, however you look at it, you know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Spirit, Son, Father, it's one God. And I think that one thing that I would encourage folks to do is embrace that as a mystery.
Mm.
And I don't mean to be cliche, as you mm-hmm. know how Hollywood does. Oh, the Lord works in mysterious ways. It's not quite what I'm doing here, but that it is ineffable. There really are not words to describe God, in a sense, for us to really understand. And so why Lutheran says he's largely hidden from us. But he does manifest in these things. And so now Paul is saying, okay, so now this is what's God doing among you, this one God. So now remember, the greater context too here is he's writing a church that's got a lot of disjointed things going on. People acting crazy at the communion service, people who are overly proud about what their gifts are. We've got people who want to call, hey, listen, I follow this guy. Yeah, you follow Paul, but I follow this guy. So that's also the greater context. And Paul is trying to rein that in. Remember, one God. We're unified around the varieties of service and the like are united by God, if you will.
Verse 6, but it is the same God who empowers them all mm-hmm. in everyone. Just as you were saying when you were talking about the source of power, and it's the same God. He is one. He is one God who, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are studying the daily New Testament reading, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 13, with the Reverend Frank Raffato, pastor at Redeemer Lutheran Church in Charleston, West Virginia. If you have questions, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue studying 1 Corinthians chapter chapter 12. Stick around for more right after this on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Worldwide KFUO Radio salutes our day sponsor on this Wednesday, August 20th, 2014. Today's day sponsors are Ed and Lisa Holderly. Today's day sponsor has made a contribution to Worldwide KFUO Radio in thanksgiving to the Lord for his many blessings throughout the years. Once again, we say thank you to Ed and Lisa Holderly of St. Louis, Missouri, today's Worldwide KFUO day sponsors.
Next time on Adventures in Odyssey,
the case of the malted milk ball falcon.
The Jones and Parker Detective Agency returns.
Someone ate all the malt balls in the pinata last night.
Nobody leaves the room.
What?
I'll have to interrogate each of you individually.
Look out, everybody. Emily Sherlock Jones is about to solve the case.
Solve the mystery on the next Adventures in Odyssey.
Saturday mornings at 8:30 on KFUO.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We are studying the daily New Testament reading today, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 13, with Pastor Frank Raffato from Redeemer Lutheran Church in Charleston, West Virginia. Before we went to the break, we were right around verses 6, 7, and 8. We were talking about the one God, who does all this work. Verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, for to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. And the list goes on. To another of faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another various kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. All right, all kinds of different gifts mentioned here, Pastor, and understanding this today and what was being spoken to the audience at that time, I think involves some conversation. The utterance of wisdom, through the Spirit, the utterance of wisdom is given. What is an utterance of wisdom?
The utterance of wisdom. Well, you know, maybe you know somebody in your congregation that just seems to know how the world works and just has an elegance about how they talk and how they live, breathe, and have their being among people and that kind of thing. And that's a sort of wisdom. Wisdom often, I think, talks about, you know, how we affect and effect and affect our relationships with each other and how that is in our relationship with God and how that affects it. Of course, you know, the book of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the like bring that sort of wisdom, as we think of wisdom writing in Scripture, which often just points out, hey, it's clear, folks, it's, you know, if A happens, you know, B is going to be a result. And there are just some people that have an uncanny grasp of that, and generally speaking. Of course, also there's wisdom in the sense Paul wants them focused on Christ. And so even way back in the beginning, you know, the blessings of Christ's gospel, understanding now to hone this idea that I'm talking about now a little further is, where is law and gospel as we read Scripture? How is the cross of Christ in the middle of what we're doing? And this person who has wisdom, and I'm going to go ahead and jump ahead because I imagine you might want to ask about this utterance of knowledge, is able to connect this knowledge, this understanding of doctrine, of law and gospel, and rightly dividing the word into its practical application in life.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, and hopefully the elders in our churches, that kind of thing, hopefully the pastor, we are able to do just that for the common good, for the good of our people, mm-hmm. our congregation.
And that's, I think, what all these come down to is for the good of the people, for the sake of the gospel, which is the of utmost importance. After utterance of wisdom, we have to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. Now, the word faith here used in verse 9, aren't we all given faith? What is this? Is this a different type of faith mentioned here in verse 9?
I think it's probably a little more in degree. I think we understand, and Paul writes in other places, in our baptism, what we've been given, and that's, he writes in, of course, Ephesians, that faith is a gift, not something for us to boast about, that sort of thing, in Ephesians chapter 2, as he talks about that. I think maybe here, as he's in this context of these other gifts, we also know people among ourselves, our congregations and the like, who just seem to just be so strong in their faith. They just seem to be unwavering in whatever adversity may come at them, good, bad, or ugly. They seem to have this great focus on who Jesus is and their understanding of belonging to Jesus. So I think that's a little more about what he might be talking there. So I do want to say for the listeners out there that yes, you've been baptized into Christ. That was part of the gift of baptism. You've been given faith, and know that it's by that same Spirit that you've been given it.
To another, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and miracles is the next verse. Prophecy, the ability to distinguish between spirits, various kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues.
Let's talk about, these really overlap, don't they?
Yeah. What is the these are all given by the same Spirit. What is the purpose of these somewhat miraculous gifts, if you will?
I think literally, if I recall, looking at the, you talked about the need and grace place for studying Greek. Yes, indeed. But I think here it's a little more of the working of powers. Now, Paul writes in another place, it's spiritual warfare that we're in. It's not flesh and blood that we're fighting against, but it's spirit. And so it's a person who is able, through prayer and other sort of spiritual tools and weapons, through using the word, to work of those. Of course, Paul writes in another place, doesn't he? God's power is made perfect in our weakness. So I think we should be careful. What does it mean to work miracles? There are miracles around us. Just this, my body, I joked with a doctor briefly one time. I said, I think I've got athlete's foot. And he said, I don't think you have athlete's anything.
That wasn't very nice.
But I think of just the miracle of not thinking about breathing, and yet the body does that. The heart pumps, and I have nothing to do with that. That's miraculous. That's beyond the, that's something we sort of take for granted. So when we talk about the working of miracles and that kind of thing, I think we have to be careful. We don't want to, and I'm not saying that somebody can't lay hands on somebody and God may miraculously heal to them or that kind of thing. But again, the context here, let's point to who's doing the work here, who's really doing the work.
And that's what it all comes down to, is who is doing the work and for what purpose is this work being done?
Yes, and I would say that, for instance, we could very well consider a miracle, because it seems to be unnatural to us in a sense. When you hear the absolution on Sunday, when you confess your sin and have absolution, we live by karma on this world. An eye for an eye, justice. What do I actually deserve? Well, I deserve God's wrath, His eternal and temporal and eternal punishment. As a pastor, I get to turn around and say, as a called and ordained servant by the in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus, I forgive your sins. That is right there a miracle. When we see Jesus working in the sacraments, that's right in front of us. And so one of the things we, I think, can get out of this too is as we pray to the Lord and ask him to sort of reveal maybe what my, quote, gift is, that I may use it for the common good, that I also might be able to see the things that are spiritual that he's doing, that those who remain in their pagan state cannot see.
He gives, we've talked about some of these healing and working of miracles, prophecy to another, the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another, various kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. Prophecy is the proclamation, the proclaiming. How is prophecy used here?
I think he is using it. And we're taking the greater context of Scripture here too. You know, in the former days, it says in Hebrews, God spoke to us through the prophets, and now He speaks through Jesus Christ to us, and so through His Word. And so I would say one who can discern, and then here's where they overlap, the ability to distinguish between spirits. I think that is related in as much as when you sit down with your Bible to do devotional, personally, you can't just open, or you shouldn't just open the Bible and just point to a verse and decide, well, this applies to me literally, and without doing the other sort of distinguishing what's going on. You know, so if I open the Bible and it points to, you know, and they were commanded to get on their donkey and go to Egypt, that's not talking to me. Not literally in the sense that I'm supposed to get on a donkey and go to Egypt, right? But what is God telling me to do, for instance, in that? And so to have the ability to distinguish also between false teaching and true teaching as well. So I think these are all very connected, I guess is what I'm maybe not so elegantly trying to say here. the ability to prophesy here, I think, is to tell the truth, to tell God's truth, to speak God's word to people. And then the distinguish between spirits, I think, largely talks to, again, they have this disunity going on. I always tell people in my congregation, you know, when you hear my sermons or more in Bible class and I say something, don't merely take my word for it. You know, go and look at Scripture yourself, pray about it, look and see, and then look, you know, if you have something you're concerned about, looking at it. On the other hand, you know, there are people who have been trained in this, you know, and I just think of our seminaries, as you talked about, it's Grace Place, and boy, what a great thing for those seminary students to have, because that's something we're called to distinguish, to rightly divide the word. And so then it's connected here to various kinds of tongues. Now, of course, that brings to mind Pentecost, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, guys are speaking in my native tongue. I'm understanding what they're saying. How is this happening? And I think that has to help us to see what this is. It's not some sort of incoherent babbling that's going on. I think that we have to look at that as natural human languages. Again, boy, I can wade around with the proper tools. I can wade around in the Hebrew and the Greek. I probably know a few phrases in Spanish and that kind of thing. But boy, if you dropped me in the middle of a country that spoke something different than English, I'd be in trouble. You know, that's not a gift that I have, picking that up easily. But we know people, don't we, who are able to speak in several languages. What a gift that is. I think to continue to tie this in this verse, the ability to interpret it. You know, if somebody gets up and says, I've got a word from the Lord, and they or what have you, and they're speaking in another tongue, and there's nobody there that can interpret it, it's really a waste of time, I think Paul is saying. And again, greater context of the text here, these several chapters, you know, Paul will end up at the end of chapter 14 saying, hey, you know, things should be done decently in order. And so to get up and to just babble incoherently would not, that would be in contradiction to that. I had an experience when I was a lay person of being with a group of people, and a young lady began to sort of babble something, and she interpreted it herself. And all of us kind of looked around and said, well, we don't think it works that way. I'm not sure what's going on here. Let's be careful here what we're saying. Let's go to the Word.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we can certainly trust what God is saying.
Why would God give these gifts? Verse 11, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills.
Again, Paul is emphasizing this one and same Spirit, the first part of 11 there, right? So again, a reminder, folks, in a sense, Paul is over and over kind of saying it's not really about you. And yet, he does give it to you. He apportions to you. So I want to encourage folks out there, as I would, you know, if I was preaching on this in my congregation, that the Lord has gifted you in some way or another. I don't know that this list here is, I think it's very telling, it's very descriptive, but not necessarily exhaustive, especially when we look in, you know, the fruits of the Spirit and that kind of thing and how those are played out. But again, it's not about us. It's the one who apportions it as he sees fit. And one thing we have to ask ourselves as children of God in Christ, am I, by the Spirit's power, willing to do the thing that God has called me to do and see that he is working through me? So, for instance, you know, my wife did comment, and this is a compliment to you, as we were listening earlier, boy, he really does have a voice for radio. I mean, it's just perfect. And I, admittedly, I kind of chuckled and said, yeah, how do I get, what a great job. How do I get that job? How do I change my voice? But that's not what God called me to do. He called you to do that. And so I can rejoice in that. And so all that was tongue-in-cheek between my wife and I, by the way. but I think that sort of points a little bit, even though that's not necessarily one of these gifts that we're talking about, into how, what is our attitude around these things. Let's remember who gave us the gifts, what the gifts are for. Mm-hmm. And let's ultimately remember who that gift giver is.
It's about the giver of the gift, and he gives them as he wills. Mm-hmm. Verse 12, just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. I hear the word one a lot here.
There's a though many one, that's right, baptized into one body. And it gives the example, of course, culturally then, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. All were made to drink one Spirit. And so we all are, you know, again, here's a little allusion to baptism. That in our baptism, we are one with Jesus. That's what brings us into unity with God. And to God who is one, he's the one who unifies and blesses not only the Corinthians that Paul was addressing, but us. And he does it through his Spirit in us. I would also say we should read this as encouragement. Maybe you're in a congregation where you're having a little tug of war over one thing or another. One of the things that can be helpful as you come together to pray about remembering this one Spirit that works in us, that God's work would not be undermined among us, that he would continue to lead us in a true confession through Jesus, that he'd continue to work through us, getting rid of our pride and all that. And then I would say here I know this is the next section, so I won't say too much, but that the next section, Paul's going to talk about the parts of the body. You are a part of the body. You know, if you're an ear and not a mouth, that's okay. That's neat, right, and salutary. It's awesome. It's God doing work through you to do your thing for the good of his people and to bring glory to him. And so let's rejoice in that.
Hmm. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. He is one God. We are one body. Hmm. And we're made to drink of one Spirit. How is it that we drink of one Spirit?
Well, here I think we've got baptized, and now the Spirit helps us to also make good confession about Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. Well, how about understanding, as Paul, again, context of the greater letter here, he did a whole section before this on what's going on at the Lord's Supper. And so I often, you know, hopefully people won't see this as being not heresy, but just be, you know, taking too much liberty. But when I dismiss the table, for instance, at our communion, I say, you know, may this, the true body and blood of Jesus, strengthen in you in the one true faith unto life everlasting as you go with his Spirit and in his peace. And so as he strengthens our faith, as Jesus comes to us in the sacrament, the Spirit is strengthening our faith. And the Father is looking with favor upon us because of that. And so we can see, even as we come up to the communion table, how this three persons in one God is working for our benefit. It's a beautiful thing.
Hmm. Amen. Looking back over the text as a whole today, Pastor, any other thoughts or comments you'd like to share with us as we wrap up our study of the daily New Testament reading?
I think I would just reiterate that I want to encourage your listeners out there in whatever they're facing, that God is working in their lives, that God does work through his word and his sacrament, even on days when it doesn't feel like it. God is always working, and he's always working redemptively. And so take that, as they say, to the bank.
Amen. We've been studying the daily New Testament reading, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 13, with Pastor Frank Raffato from Redeemer Lutheran Church in Charleston, West Virginia. Pastor Raffato, thanks so much for being our guest. Always good to spend some time with you, and especially today, studying God's Word.
Thank you. It's definitely a blessing for me as well. Blessings on your ministry.
Thank you. God's blessings to you and all the saints there at Redeemer Lutheran Church in Charleston, West Virginia.
Thank you.
You bet. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got Witness Wednesday with Pastor Mark Wood. I hope you can join us for that as he shares with us some thoughts on third article witnessing. We've been talking about the work of the Holy Spirit this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Stick around for Pastor Mark Wood's report on Witness Wednesday about third article witnessing right here on his time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.